smile on your face, amen. Joy in your heart and a smile on your face. Light in your countenance. I am so thankful that God has been so good to me. God's good to all of us. Some realize it and some don't. Please don't think that God hasn't been good to you. The question is not, has God been good to you? The question is, do you realize how good God has been to you? God is good. That's all God knows how to be. Even in his judgments, God extends mercy. And I'm thankful for that. That's the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. While you're finding your place there, tonight in our service, we will continue in our messages on the home. I hope you'll come tonight and be here. We're going to talk a little more about some things that we need to do to have a successful Christian home. I'm concerned about our nation. And our nation is looking to the wrong sources for the answers. We need Christians to raise up, to rise up and be the Christian that God has called you to be. Take your place on the front line. Let your testimony speak loudly. Let your light shine brightly. It's what we need in the day in which we live. We need good Christian homes, good, committed, faithful Christian people. People that'll do more than hear God's sayings, but do God's sayings. People that'll do more than, well, talk the Christian talk, but walk the Christian walk. We need some folks living for Jesus. If as many people that profess Christ practice Christianity, I think our nation would be different, don't you? Amen. But I can't change the other people. But I tell you what I can do. I can evaluate my own stand before the Lord. And I can evaluate my walk with God. And I'm going to ask you today to do that yourself. Evaluate yourself. The scripture says that we ought to examine ourselves. And I pray that you would do that. In Ephesians chapter number 5, we have a picture of some things that have sparked some debate through the years. I don't know that there should be any debate over some of these things, really any of these things. It's God's Word. But as you look with me before we read the verse of Scripture that I'm going to read and preach to you, the message that God has laid upon my heart, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Is this characteristic of my life? You see, there's a command given in verse number 18. And the command there is not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's not a suggestion. That's not even a request. And it's not God's advice. It is a commandment. God doesn't just give an advice not to be drunk. That's a commandment, don't be drunk. And it's the same commandment to be filled with the Spirit. And so, after the commandment is given, there are some characteristics that will follow those that keep the commandment. And he said, if you're filled with the Spirit, you will be singing to yourselves, in verse number 19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Does that describe you? You see, the reason I ask this question is that the times that I have preached on being filled with the Spirit, almost without fail, someone has come to me and said, well, how will I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? My question, or answer to that question, is a question, and that is, how do you know you're saved? You'll know. Because the Spirit bears witness on the inside. God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm saved in the grace of God. And when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that He's controlling my life and I'm not controlling my life. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. When something is filled with something, it is dominated. It is controlled by that. And so here are some evidences, or I chose to call them characteristics, of being filled with the Spirit. And you ask yourself this question: am I singing to myself? Is my family singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord? Is our family, is our home, is it a song? Or is it full of contention and strife? Is it filled with grace and forgiveness and forbearance? Or is it filled with a condemning and accusatory spirit? He said in verse number 20, he said, not only will you be singing and your heart will be full of melody and joyfulness, but you will be giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled people are thankful people. Not a murmuring and a complaining and a grumbling and a griping people. Yes, there are hard places in life, and yes, we all get on edge, and yes, we all are tempted to say things we shouldn't say and do things we shouldn't do and get in an attitude that is not proper and not right. But Spirit-filled people are controlled by the Spirit, and God takes us beyond that and helps us work through it so that we can give thanks. Notice what it says in verse number 20, so that we can give thanks for all things, even the things that we particularly don't like. And if we had our way, it'd be different, but God has allowed it for a purpose. And so are you a joyful person? Is your home joyful? Is your home filled with thanksgiving and thankfulness, not just around the fourth Thursday of November? Are you thankful? When they sang that song, was your heart squeezed as you thought about how good God has been to you? You're just thankful because God is so good. You're just thankful that God is there. That you don't have to do life alone. That you have a companion, a friend, a Savior who loves you. He goes on to say, not only are Spirit-filled people joyful, but Spirit-filled people are thankful. In verse number 21, he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Spirit-filled people are humble. Spirit-filled people are not selfish people. Spirit-filled people do not do things to benefit themselves first. They do things to project and promote the love of God and the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. Spirit-filled people have God's best interest in mind, not theirs. It is important to be a Spirit-filled Christian. And as I have said, that in verse number 18, this is not a suggestion. And as this relates to our homes, notice in verse number 22, he said, wives. And then verse number 25, he said, husbands. In chapter 6, in verse number 1, he said, children. And so the Spirit-filled life is for every member of your home. It's not just for the man. It's not just for the teacher. It's not just for the servant in the church. It's for every individual in your home. It's for every Christian. God's commandment to every Christian is to be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? What are the characteristics of this commandment? Well, what is God demanding here? And why is He commanding this? God knows that I can't live this Christian life in the energy of this flesh. I can attempt it, but I will fall flat on my face every time. I cannot do this without God. You can't either. None of us can. The question is, how many of us realize it? And it's truly my prayer today that God would help me and help you. God would help us here at Fellowship Baptist Church to realize how important it is to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to take just a few moments and I want to talk to you about that. What it is, what it's not. and how you can have it if you don't. Because God not only commands it, He desires it in your life as a child of God. Would you stand to your feet? If you can. Now, if you can't stand, I understand. Listen, there's some here today that you're just physically not able to stand, and that's fine. I want you to look down and let's just read these scriptures together. We'll go back to verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly," and that word just means upright. You walk upright. You walk in an upright manner. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming," which means bottling up. It means savoring the time. Don't be a time waster. Don't be a media surfer. Don't be a video game guru. Redeem the time. Your time is limited. My time is limited. Time is short, brethren. Life is brief. It's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So I sure would like to know what God's will is. He said in verse 18, here's how you can know. "And be not drunk with wine." How am I going to walk circumspectly in this old evil world? How am I going to redeem the time in this world in which we live that is rushing headlong toward everything that's evil and ungodly? How am I going to know God's will? Be filled with the Spirit. "But be ye filled with the Spirit," he said. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes to give, after this command, the characteristics, and then we'll look at the condition on what that is. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning. God, help me to unload the burden you placed upon my heart, and I pray you'd place it on the hearts of your people, that we would hear what the Spirit saith to the church today. God, it is my desire to preach your word in a way that would be relevant to the needs of your people, in a way that would be understandable to every individual from the youngest to the eldest, in a way that would be applicable to all of our lives and where we are in this period of time in our life. God, the best I know how, I yield myself to you, because I realize without you, all would be in vain. So I pray for your help in the preaching of the word. I pray for your help in the hearing of the preaching. I pray for your Spirit to fill me as I preach your word, and your Spirit to fill this congregation as we hear your word. Help us to be Spirit-filled listeners. And help us to take your word and apply it to our lives, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. After I was first saved, I had this grave concern in my life that I was not going to be able to live up to God's standard. It put fear in my heart that I'm not going to be able to do this. And so ignorantly, I began to pray a prayer similar to this. God, give me more of your Spirit. God, give me more of your Spirit. I prayed it regularly. God, give me more of your Spirit. I don't want to fail you, Lord. God, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that. Help me, Lord. Give me more of your Spirit. And then in the providence of God, God brought someone along and I heard them preach a message on being filled with the Spirit. And my erroneous praying was corrected by the Word of God. That my praying should not be, God, give me more of your Spirit, because as a saved individual, I already had all of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is a person. He is a person. He is just as much a person as Jesus, the Son of God. He is just as much God as God the Father. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. These three are co-equal in power and attributes. The Holy Spirit of God has a unique ministry. And that unique ministry was at work in my life, and I did not realize it. That ministry of that Spirit that came and took up a residence in my heart when I got saved allowed me to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. When I talk to you this morning about being filled with the Spirit, I am not saying to believers. I'm talking to, if you're saved, I'm talking to you this morning. Now, if you're lost, I'll get to you in just a moment. If you're not a believer, if you've never been saved, you need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because He does have a ministry in your life, and it's called conviction. It's called convincing you of sin. And it's called baptizing you in the body of Christ. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But listen, when I got saved, I was indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Every person that gets saved is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9 that if the Spirit of God doesn't live in your heart, you are none of Christ. If you are not possessed of the Holy Spirit, that means you're not saved. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up a residence in your heart. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. Not because this preacher said so, but because that Bible says so. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But if you are saved, you possess the Holy Spirit. The question is not, do you possess the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit possess you? The question is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? See, I was praying, God, give me more of your Spirit. I already have the Holy Spirit. He's a person. John chapter number 14 and John chapter 16 says that the Spirit of God is a person. It refers to Him in the masculine. He shall come and reprove you of sin. And when you got the Holy Spirit, you got all of the Holy Spirit you'll ever get. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit. I hope you understand that. He is a person. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit, no more than you're going to get any more saved than you are right now by Jesus. If you're saved, you're saved. You don't get more saved. If you're saved, you're just as saved as you're ever going to be. Now, sanctification is a different story. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, then that's all you're going to get when it comes to being saved. Now, you're going to get more when it comes to being sanctified. But you can't get more saved than you are now. You say, no, wait a minute now, preacher. Doesn't the Bible say our body will be saved one day? That's right. But that's already been predestined. God's already going to see. Listen, when God saved you, He saved not only your spirit and soul, but He saved you that one day your body, because of the resurrection of Jesus, is going to be resurrected also, and you're going to get a new glorified body. That's already in the works, brethren. So the Holy Spirit, look at what the Scripture says in verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine. If I were to ask any person in this room that is a Christian, I believe I could ask most unbelievers, do you think it's a sin to be drunk? I believe they would say, absolutely. It is a sin to get drunk. Amen? You say, well, I know a good Christian and they get drunk regularly. They're not a good Christian, if they're even a Christian at all. They're confused. You say, well, didn't some of the men in the Bible that were good Christians get drunk? Well, there are people in the Bible that were godly men that got drunk, but then they fell from being a godly man. Godly people don't get drunk. Backslid people do. Amen. And so here it says, be not drunk with wine. That's not a suggestion. That's not Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I have some advice for you. If you want to live a godly life, and someone mentioned holiness, if you want to live a godly life, if you want to live a holy life, you might want to reconsider that thing of getting drunk. That's not what he's saying at all. Notice what he said. This is in the imperative sense. He says in verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine. Don't you get drunk. But he said this, but be filled with the Spirit. As a Christian, it's wrong to get drunk. But as a Christian, it's also wrong to go through life not filled with the Spirit. And sometimes we just don't look at it that way. We just don't look at it that God's commandment of being not drunk is equal with God's commandment of being filled with the Spirit. Now, why did Paul unite these two together? You know what alcohol, the influence of alcohol just changes who you are. It just changes how you think. It just changes where you go, what you do. It just changes you. Alcoholic beverage, alcoholic influence changes a person for the bad. I said for the bad. But the Spirit of God also changes a person. What you think, where you go, how you act, how you talk, how you think, for the good. And that's why there's the parallel there. And so he said, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to tell you some things that are one-time transactions that God will do in your life. And I want you to listen carefully. Number one, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you got saved, the Spirit of God baptized you. This is in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The word baptized simply means to be immersed or placed into. When I got saved, the Spirit of God placed me into the body of Christ. Every Christian that gets saved becomes a part of the body of Christ. Amen. That's a one-time transaction. You don't go in and out of the body of Christ. Number two, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 that every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in every Christian. Not sometime, all the time. Even those carnal Christians at Corinth, Paul said, I could not write unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. He said, the Spirit of God lives in you. You need to start listening to him, is basically what he was telling. One-time transaction. One-time transaction. In Ephesians chapter 1, also in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. One time. You don't keep getting sealed. Listen, God's sealer don't wear off. Amen. You don't have to have a second coat of that. Please hear me. Please hear me this morning. The Spirit of God seals us until the day of redemption. We are sealed, brethren. That happens once. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 14 says we have the earnest, which means the down payment, the earnest of the Spirit. We're just as sure that we're going to heaven, not because of who we are, but because of what Christ has done and because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, brethren. We're just as good as in heaven. One time. And then there's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God gives to every Christian gifts. And we're to use our spiritual gifts in the church and in the work of the Lord. Now, these are the ministries of the Holy Spirit. These are the predominant ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He leads us, the Bible teaches. He guides us into all truth, the Bible teaches. But these are the predominant things that he does in our lives. And these are one time that I mentioned. Now, I want you to notice this. When Paul said, be ye filled with the Spirit, he's saying, be ye being filled. Can I tell you something about your pastor? You probably already know. If you don't even have to watch closely, and you'll know this. Your pastor is a leaky vessel. Yeah. I need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And what the apostle is saying here is you need to be being filled. Notice what he said here now. But be ye filled, not get ye filled. Not get ye filled. Be ye filled. Always be filled with the Spirit. Always be fessed up. Listen, you confess your sin before God. You yield yourself to the Lord. You keep a clean heart before God. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit with sin in your life. I've done it, and I'm sorry for it, and I've asked God to forgive me, and I had to get filled with the Spirit again. You've done it too. And if you ask God to forgive you, you need to ask Him, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Can I ask you a question? Did you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit this morning? God help me. God help you. God help us not to wake up and just think, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. What makes us think that? I have no clue, except for a depraved mind. I need to confess my sin regularly to God. You need to confess yours regularly to God. We need to put away lying and malice and anger and wrath. You say, I don't do any of that. You just told a lie. Somehow we have gotten to the place where we think, you know what, we're okay. We're doing just fine. You know what? I don't need that much preaching. I can go on a little sermon a week, or I can go on a little bit of this. I can read a verse a day, and I'm good. No, you're not good. What you need is a dose of reality. We need to understand that we are sinners, brethren. We are depraved. We are fallen. We need God to do something special in our lives. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You do too. And God said you need to be filled. So I want to ask you this question now. Are you ready? Here's the test. Is verse 19 going on in your home? Is it going on in your heart? Do you find yourself singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord regularly? Do you find yourself singing the old hymns and the spiritual songs, the psalms, regularly? You know, when I'm filled with the Spirit, I do. You do too. Spirit-filled people are singing people. Oh, I don't have a good voice. Well, the Bible didn't say, you know, you had to have a good voice. It says sing in your heart. If we want you to sing with your lips, we'll tell you. Amen. I can't sing, but I tell you what, in my heart, I sound good. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, God just gives you a song, doesn't He? Doesn't He, folks? God gives us a song. Look at verse number 20. You be thankful. You don't always complain. You don't always find the bad and the negative. You're looking, you see the good. Spirit-filled people are thankful people. Spirit-filled people, see, these are the characteristics of those who follow that command. When I realize, God, I can't do your work without you. God, I can't live this life without you. I don't know, you know, I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, I just can't stand myself. You know? I don't know what it is. I just keep getting back to this place where I think, you know what? I think I can do this without God. This little thing. No, I can do nothing without Him. Jesus said, listen, you can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. I want to get to the place where I really believe that. Are there any people in here that really believe that? I can't do anything without Jesus. I can't do anything without Him. I don't want to get to the place where I think I can do some things without God, and the rest I'll just need His help. I need God for the big stuff, but I can handle the small stuff. That's not true. That's a lie of the devil. That's why I need to be filled with the Spirit. You know what the word filled means? That word, if when you go back and you begin to look and just dig and delve into what that word is, it comes from the word that we get the word wind. And it's like the wind of a sail will control the direction of ship. And when I'm filled with the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit will control the sail, and that will control my boat. That will control my direction. That will control where I go and how fast or how slow. That will control my life. And that word means control. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled with the Spirit. And when I'm controlled with the Spirit, I walk in the Spirit. When I'm controlled by the Spirit, I'm led by the Spirit. When I'm controlled by the Spirit, I live in the Spirit. Do you understand what God is saying here? God is saying, I have a life for you. And if you will allow my spirit to fill you, you will realize the life that I have for you. Amen. But now if you insist on saying no to this, you can do it the hard way. And you can miss out on some things that I have for you in your life. And you can miss out on some things that I have planned for you. And I don't want to miss out on some things that God has planned for me. Because God says in the book of Jeremiah, I have great plans for you. Even before you were born, God said, I've got great plans for you. Let me work this plan out. And if you will, it's up to you. If you will be filled with my spirit, I will put the wind in your sails that will guide you into my will and accomplish what I have for your life. But now if you insist on doing it your way, God will allow that to happen. I've done it in my own life. How about you? I've done it in my own life. And I've basically said, though I didn't say it right out, I basically said, God, I've got it from here. Oh, it's terrible. What a terrible, terrible thing. Can I tell you the worst version of me is when I'm in control? And the best version of me is when he's in control. How about you? Who's in control this morning, brethren? Who's in control of your life, dear lady? Sir, who's in control? Young folks, look right up here at your pastor. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not, you're out of God's will. You'll never know what it is to find fulfillment in Christ until you are filled with His Spirit. God has a perfect plan for your life. God has so many good things that He wants to do in your life. Quit trying to feel your way through and experiment with things that you have no need of experimenting with, and let God take you down the path of certainty that will lead you to a place to where you can know what the plan of God for your life is. Joyful, thankful, verse number 21, humble. Spirit-filled people are humble people. Have you ever noticed that? They're submitting themselves. They don't look at themselves as being it. That everything has to evolve around them. Not spirit-filled people. That's why Jesus submitted himself, yielded himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because he was endowed with power, the Spirit of God. Look at verse number 22, I'm sorry. Now we're going to bring the message to a close. I want to draw some parallels to your home. There's a big, big argument today about feminism, women's rights. I'm not even concerned about men's rights, let alone women's rights. And children's rights. Brethren, can I tell you, when I got saved, I forfeited my rights. God owns me. I've been bought with a price. I'm His. He does with me what He wills. And if you're His or hers, He should be doing with you what He wills too. Quit fighting for rights and stand up for what is right. Scripture says in verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands, their own husbands in everything. Now that's the word of God, and I make no apology for it. I stand on it, and I'm glad that God put it in there. Well, how are we going to do that? Pastor, how am I going to do that? You just don't understand. Well, I probably don't. But God does, and He's the one who wrote it. Dear ladies, please listen to me. I bragged on you last week. I meant every word I said. There's nothing more precious than a godly wife and mother. Nothing more precious. Let God fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let God fill you so that you can find your place, the place that God made for you, not that the world has carved out for you. You don't want that place. Look at what it's produced, ladies. Look at what it's produced. You don't want that place. You don't want the place that is so cursed, sinful, depraved world has carved out for you. Find the place that God has for you. Be filled with the Spirit. And you'll be able to yield yourself to the role that He has for you in life. It's the greatest role you'll ever fulfill, is the role that God has for you. Then He said in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Husbands, that's a tall order. I look at that and I say, how in the world am I going to be that? How in the world can I fulfill that? I'm weak. I don't have what it takes to fulfill that. God said, I'm going to give it to you. I've already put that resource in you when you were saved. You possess my Spirit. Yield to Him. Be filled with Him, and you can fulfill those requirements as a husband. Wives, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll submit yourself unto your husband. Husbands, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll love your wives sacrificially. You'll love her. You'll love her like no other. Children, look at verse number, chapter 6, verse 1. Obey your parents. Verse number 2, honor your parents. We'll get into what these are saying to us in another message. What's this tell me? Children, by and large, are disobedient. But not Spirit-filled children. Spirit-filled children obey their parents. Well, I just don't know if I'm filled with the Spirit or not. Well, let me just give you a quick acid test here, young folks. We need to bring all those children from upstairs. Say amen, parents. Preacher, are my children filled with the Spirit? I don't know. You tell me. Are they obeying you? Do they roll their eyes and murmur? Do they complain when you tell them something to do, even the easiest of tasks or the simplest of things? Are they murmurers? Are they ungrateful? Are they never thankful? Nothing's ever enough? Let me just help you out, and I'm not being smart aleck or mean here. Your children are not filled with the Holy Spirit if that is their attitude. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to start a Spirit-filled course in your home immediately. Because the road that they're on is leading to the wrong place. Do they honor you? Do they revere you? That's what the word honor means. Look at it. It says, children, you do this. You honor your father and your mother. Children ought to honor their father and mother. There was a day when parents expected that. Do they? You think children are just born obeying and born honoring? No, they have to be taught. Amen? They have to be schooled. They have to be shown. And so, the Apostle Paul said here, being filled with the Spirit is very important. So, well, how do I do that? You know, the command is be filled with the Spirit. The characteristics are joyful. You just have a song when you're filled with the Spirit. God just fills your heart with singing. You just have joy in your heart. Oh, I realize that you can be filled with the Spirit and still experience some disappointment, some sadness, but your life will not be characterized by that. That is not what you'll be known for. You'll not be known as a complainer, as a grumbler, as someone who is always looking on the dim and not the bright side. You'll be thankful. Spirit-filled people are thankful people. Amen, church? Spirit-filled people are joyful people. Spirit-filled people are humble people. Spirit-filled wives are submissive wives. They want to build up their husband. They want to support their husband. They want to honor their family. They want to be with their family. They want to set an example to their family. They want to serve their family. Hey, can I give you something to do, ladies and gentlemen? Would you set in your heart today, every husband and every wife in this room, would you set in your heart today, I'm going to outserve my mate. My mate's not going to outserve me. I'm going to outserve my wife. I'm going to serve my wife more than my wife serves me. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, you're not. Well, I'm making an effort to do that. I want to serve my wife, and I do serve my wife. I could do better, but I'll let her testify to that. I want my wife to know I love her, and I'm trying to love her like Christ loved the church. I want to be her everything. I want to be her friend. I want to be her provider. I want to be her protector. I'm not some king sitting on the throne ringing a bell saying, you know, woman, submit. That's not what spirit-filled men do. I want to outserve my wife. I want to serve her more than she serves me. I'm not looking for her to serve me in every way. That's between her and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get in the way of that. I want to get right between me and the Holy Spirit. Our problem is we're looking around saying this one needs to do that and this one needs to do that. I'm going to tell you what I need to get concerned about, what this one's doing. See, when I get concerned about what this one's doing, business picks up with my Heavenly Father. But when I'm looking at other people and trying to say, well, now this one needs to do it this way and this one needs to do it that way and this one needs to change the way they're doing it and this one could do it different, I'm going to tell you, I get out of focus that way. And you're apt to get out of focus too. So could I ask you this morning, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? So I don't know how to be. Well, you have to cleanse yourself of sin. That's number one. The Spirit of God will not fill a dirty vessel. Please hear me. He'll possess one, but he won't fill one. Please hear me. You can't be filled with him and sin too. Confess your sin. Ask God to cleanse you. Then yield yourself. God, I'm yours. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you tell me to do, Lord. God, I'll say anything you tell me to say. I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm the servant. You're the master. You have the right to tell me what to do. It's not my place to tell you what to do, Lord. It's your place to tell me what to do. I yield myself to you. Number three, ask. God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. And then when I sin and get out of sorts with God, I need to do it all over again. Because I am to be filled, which means stay filled with the Holy Spirit. What about it, Christians? You filled? As you sit here this morning in church, looking good, dressed nice, beautiful Sunday morning, are you filled with the Spirit? What about it, young ladies? Young men? You filled with the Spirit? You want your life just to be subpar? I've told you before, I'm not interested in average Christianity. Mediocrity does not appeal to me. And I pray to God it doesn't to you either. Spirit-filled people go above and beyond for the cause of Christ. If you're a Christian, I want you to bow your head. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want you to look right up here at me. Is there anyone like that? I'm not a Christian. I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I've never had my sin forgiven. I've never trusted Christ that I might be saved. If you're here that way this morning, the Spirit of God wants to do a work in your life. And the work that He wants to do is save you. That's called conversion. It's called redemption. He wants to birth you into His family. You can be saved if you will repent, if you will say, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to trust your Son, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe that He died and was buried and rose again. And by faith, I trust Him. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet, and as we do, if you're a Christian, I want you to come up here and pray if you're not filled with the Spirit. If you can possibly do so, if not, just where you are, I understand. God understands. That's what matters. And if you're lost, I want you to come and say, come to me and say, I'm not saved. And I'll have someone take a Bible and take you into a prayer room and show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus as your Savior. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play.